Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Played by Ricky Velez. Yeah. He's like, oh man, I had such high hopes for Harold.
Yeah.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined by Jonathan Watkins from CinemaSins.
Hello, hello.
And today we're going to be doing a mini pod.
Apatowie pod? I don't.
Yeah, yes. That's it. Of The King of Staten Island, starring Pete Davidson. I can't remember. Was this supposed to be a theatrical release or was this
Yeah, it absolutely was. It was supposed to come out, I think, around the time it actually did come out. So
yeah, I don't know anymore. I didn't look that far ahead in the summer to know whether these were going to be theatrical or VOD all the time. I mean, with a pedigree of Judd Apatow, you'd expect this to be theatrical. Mm-hmm. But it feels like I've heard about this movie for so long. And, you know, that it's always been set to go VOD and digital.
Yeah, I mean, I think this was a pretty easy one once they realized theaters might not be open. I think they made I think this was a pretty quick call that they were just going to throw it on VOD. And because I don't think it probably didn't cost that much. And they figured they could make their money back. So,
yeah. So much like many Judd Apatow movies, this is a longer movie than you'd expect. However, I feel like in this case, it might be justified.
Yeah, the length didn't bother me on this one for whatever reason.
Yeah. Like in a comedy, a straight up comedy, it bothers me because they're obviously just kind of throwing in everything. There's this, I don't know, it feels like Apatow gets real defensive, about, you know, stuff that he thinks might be funny or whatever, and he doesn't want to cut it. I don't know if that's the case, if he's just being defensive or if it's just, you know, this is the movie I wanted to make, God damn it, you know?
Yeah.
But in this case, this isn't like a straight comedy. This is like got more drama to it than normal.
Yeah, this felt a little more like probably like if you're going to compare it. I mean, it's interesting because in that sense, it kind of felt more like Funny People. I would there maybe this is 40. Mm-hmm. Those are two I think are a little more on the dramatic side. But at the same time, I definitely got those Knocked Up vibes and those like 40-year-old virgin vibes, mainly because you had Pete Davidson's character. He's got this group of friends. They sit around and just have, you know, random conversations. I don't, it felt, especially Knocked Up, it felt very much in that same vein with the group of people. Now it kind of turns into something a little different along the way.
Yeah.
But I definitely, it's very Apatow.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. The group of stoner friends is a hallmark of his.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, even in a movie like Knocked Up, it is sort of, you know, it's Seth Rogen needs to grow up and all that, but it feels like in that one, the change happens because the movie needs it to. And in this movie, it feels like it happens because of a natural progression. It feels like Pete Davidson's character changes more believably than Seth Rogen does in Knocked Up.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
You have hesitations on that?
Like, No. It sounds like we might differ a little bit on this one. He definitely changes. I don't know. I never really quite it's like you said, it's very different. Like, I don't like Knocked Up is more of a straight up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
There's not really a lot of drama in Knocked Up. It's very much like a straightforward comedy, much in the like 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Mm-hmm.
But in this one, like you said, there's a lot more drama. I don't know that I really ever felt that Pete Davidson's character grew that much, like as much as they wanted me to think he did. I kind of felt like he was basically the same person at the end of the movie. Just maybe he was dealing with, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think, because we'll get into that more in spoilers, because the way it ends is interesting to me. But I don't know. Like, his character was like one of the least interesting things about what I liked about the movie. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Yeah, I was, for me, I was kind of surprised. I thought this is an easy thing for Pete Davidson to go through the things that we see on Saturday Night Live on a regular mm-hmm. basis, where it just doesn't look like he gives a fuck about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to root for that guy weekly on that show. And I know he's got things he's going through a lot of times, but geez, like every time he gets on there, it's like, ha ha, I'm Pete Davidson. I don't give mm-hmm. a shit, you know? And in this one, that's how they start off his character in this movie, is he just doesn't care or have the, like, he doesn't mm-hmm. have like any real forethought or anything like that. And it takes some things to sort of get him back to that spot. But, I don't know. I liked his character change in this.
Cool. I will say I came to this movie with a little bit of baggage, because I'm not a Pete Davidson fan mm-hmm. per se.
Right.
For a lot of the reasons you're talking about. I don't necessarily think he's not like terrible or anything. SNL, and SNL is all I really know him from. I know he's been in a couple of things, but
yeah, he
SNL
was in that Motley Crue thing in Netflix.
Oh, I haven't seen that. I had no idea. Does he play one of the band members?
No. He plays, I think he plays their first manager.
Oh, okay. Interesting. God, I gotta watch
He's only in there for a brief moment, but
I really need to watch that movie though.
Oh really? I would say that it's maybe worth a look, but I didn't like super like it or anything.
Yeah,
I don't like Motley Crue.
It's just the things I've heard said about that movie just make me so damn curious to watch it. I don't know that I'm not putting it up at the top of my list.
Well, it's got an almost Adam McKay Big Short vibe to it, although it's not as good. You know what I
mean?
Yeah,
yeah, gotcha.
But
yeah, so I've only seen him on SNL, and like there's certain things he does on there that are kind of funny. And then, like you said, a lot of it though, it really does feel like there's not a lot of effort behind what he's doing.
Yeah,
even when he's on like Weekend Update and he's like doing a bit.
Yeah.
It feels like he just came up with it when he's there, and maybe it's supposed to.
Right.
Like maybe that's supposed to be what's funny, but for whatever reason, it doesn't hit with me. But like you said, this isn't a comedy. I mean, he's given a performance in this and he's fine. I think the thing about it for me though, was that I wanted to see a movie about Bill Burr and Marissa Tomei.
No doubt. Yeah.
I think Bill Burr comes in and really steals this movie away from Pete Davidson, which is kind of interesting because he's also a very specific type of stand-up comic. He's got his persona
mm-hmm.
and he's playing a little against type here, I guess, but he's still kind of that blue collar, you know, persona that he does in his stand-up comedy. I also am more of a Bill Burr fan, I would say, than I am a Pete Davidson fan.
Well, I definitely am. I actually saw Bill Burr at TPAC, and
that's awesome.
He's great. Like I love Bill Burr.
Yeah, he's great. He's very, you know, unlike Pete Davidson, he's very structured and he's got, you know, there's a lot going on there that's more interesting to me. And I think he gives a really good performance in this movie, like a legitimately good performance in this mm-hmm. movie, and kind of for me becomes the most interesting person in the movie.
He may
and
be.
I really like Marissa Tomei.
Yeah. Marissa Tomei has some great moments in there too. Like probably better moments in this than she has in the Spider-Man movies and stuff like that they've been throwing her in. Like, I haven't gotten to see Marissa Tomei like truly shine for a while now, like The Wrestler and Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, those type of movies.
Absolutely.
I haven't seen those in a while. I haven't seen her like really shine since something like that.
Yeah.
There's others that I like in here too. Belle Pally, who plays Kelsey, the girlfriend or the girl that he's sort of interested in, but he's not giving his full attention to. And everything.
Had you seen her in anything before this?
I've never seen her in anything before this. And I'm a huge fan now. I thought she was really, really good. And I wanted to see more of her, too.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of like when Julia Fox in Uncut Gems for some. That was kind of the, you know, it was that kind of performance where I was just like, ooh, who is this?
Yeah.
And I got to give props to, I'm sorry if I'm interrupting you. I just got to give props to, is it Apatow's daughter?
Maud Apatow.
Yeah, it was interesting. It's just been interesting seeing her grow up because obviously she was in Knocked Up and she was in This Is 40.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess this is 6 or 7 years after that. I guess she's like 20 now or something.
She's somewhere around there. Like, I know that. I know that. No, she's 22, going on 23.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that I'm glad to see her like really killing it because she got a lot of flack for that This Is 40, I believe it was, where she was, you know, she wasn't given a character that was very likable in that. And, you know, she was a teenager. So Apatow infused that teenager with the least likable qualities of a teenager. And so like a lot of people like, you know, were focusing on that. But she ever since she's like appeared in a couple of other things that I've seen her in and she's really good in it. So like she's going to be good.
Yeah. And I mean, and it's like, you know, she probably is getting these jobs in these movies because she's his daughter. And so there is some nepotism involved, but like, it's not her fault, you know? And I think people just immediately, especially like the This Is 40, I think that kind of got held against her. Kind of like Will Smith casting his son in movies that he's producing or whatever, you know? There you just can't avoid that, unfortunately. But she actually stood out to me in this. Like, and I thought the scenes with her and Pete Davidson were really good. And they really felt like brother and sister. You know, like, I've got a younger sister. It's quite, there's a bigger age gap, but like, I remember her being in college and me trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my life or whatever. And, you know, we had conversations, not that specific, but similar, you know, I just remembered stuff like that when I was watching it and I was like, oh yeah, no, this is true to life. Like I totally get this. Was there somebody else you were going to mention though? I'm sorry. I know you said there are a few other people you liked.
No. I mean, you know, his friends are fun, but like, it's not like, you know, I'm going to remember these guys. I mean, of all the ones that I think of his best friends that stood out, I think it's the guy who plays Igor.
He was the only one I had ever seen in anything before.
Yeah. Moises Arias. He's really funny. And I mean, it's kind of his character too. His character is pretty well written, in this, but you know, his friends are fun. I mean, they're not like the same supporting cast that you saw in Knocked Up or 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah. But the one scene early on in the movie where it started working for me a little better. And I really wish the rest of the movie had kind of been in the same vein, but they say they're in the woods. It looks to me like they're just right off the beach, but maybe that's the woods in Staten Island.
Oh yeah, maybe so. Yeah.
But they're giving the tattoo, or he's trying to give the tattoo. Pete Davidson's character plays he wants to be a tattoo artist. And he attempts to give a tattoo to is he 9?
Yeah, he's like really young. He's not 10, he's not even 10. Yeah.
Yeah, he ends up being Bill Burr's son. His name is Harold in the movie. And who actually gives a pretty, that little kid gives a pretty good performance too, but he's going to give a tattoo to him. But just, and then that whole scene, just the way that scene starts and unfolds and ends was so funny to me. There's even that part at the end. I love the moment where the kid like freaks out once he gets the needle on his arm. He's like, I don't want to do it. And he runs off. And then the main guy, I guess, of the group, his name, I think, was Oscar, played by Ricky Velez. Yeah. He's like, oh man, I had such high hopes for Harold.
Yeah.
It was just such a funny scene. And it felt like those were four guys that had been together forever and had been friends and, you know, were just dumb. And I really liked that scene. And then I kind of started I kind of started getting out of the movie a little bit after that, though, unfortunately. But with the exception of the Bill Burr stuff, I thought some of the Pete Davidson stuff was interesting. I will say in real life, you know, his dad died. He was a firefighter that died 9/11. Mm-hmm. He was, I believe, a rescue worker, right?
In real life, yes.
Yeah, in real life, yes. So in the movie...
It's sort of a parallel in here, even though it wasn't 9/11.
Yeah, exactly. In the movie, it's his father was a firefighter that died in a hotel fire. And, you know, and all that was really... I thought that was interesting, but it was a little cringy in the back of my head too, just because it was kind of like, I mean, I'm sure Pete Davidson was like cool with all this and was, you know, pushing forward with all this, but it was like, you know, Judd Apatow was using like Pete Davidson's real life trouble, like real life horrors.
I do think that Apatow does this in general. Yeah. And most of the movies he's made so far have been about him in general. Mm-hmm. Like Knocked Up is essentially sort of what he was going through when he and Leslie Mann, mm-hmm. You know, that it not, you know, it's not based in like an actual true story, but I think he pulled from that. And Who knows, maybe the 40-year-old virgin part of it was somewhat part of it too. But like the This Is 40 was definitely sort of an autobiographical mm-hmm. thing. So I think he likes to do that where it's like, you know, it makes it better for him if he, and Pete Davidson's been real open about this too.
He absolutely has. It was just something that kept like in the back of my mind. I was just, and I don't know much about Pete Davidson outside of that. I know he has a lot of depression, anxiety issues. He's been very open about that. Drug use, he's been very open about. Mm-hmm. I don't know the details about, like, I don't know if his actual mother remarried a firefighter. I don't know if any of that's true, if he has a sister or, you know,
right.
But I don't know. That was just something else that was kind of in the back of my mind. But overall, I don't think I liked it as much as I want to like it.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be one of those movies that down the road, when I'm not carrying the baggage of going into it, not really caring for the main actor,
mm-hmm.
That might help moving forward. And there were, but like a lot of Apatow movies, Funny People's a great example. And I would say even something like Trainwreck, where there are these genuinely like really good moments,
mm-hmm.
but then there's still a lot of moments of like, that was okay.
That felt
a little generic.
That's another movie, by the way. Trainwreck is another movie that's based on, you know, personal experiences mm-hmm. and things like that. That was Amy Schumer all the way.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to grade this?
Oh, I guess we should get into that and then go into spoilers. I've been teetering on a B-, C+. I think I've talked myself up to like a B-, because I do think this is somewhat passable, but it doesn't quite get there for me to be like a full on like I recommend this,
mm-hmm.
but I think there's enough good in it. I mean, Bill Burr alone, mm-hmm. I think, is almost worth watching the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give it a B-.
Yeah, I'm gonna go B+ here. I mean, as much as I ended up enjoying it, it does take a while to get to that for me. Mm-hmm. It takes a while for me to enjoy it because there is, even though I said the length here seems justified, it does seem like it maybe goes on a little bit too long before it starts getting to his character change.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, I don't think this is a spoiler. So, I mean, sorry for you guys who think it is, but, you know, he wants to be this tattoo artist and everything. And we don't mm-hmm. really see him drawing, even like, we see him try to do a tattoo at one point. And I know that it's probably because Pete Davidson himself is not a great drawer, but at least get somebody who can so that it makes it look mm-hmm. like the person is doing that. We know that's the thing that he loves to do. And there's a point there's somewhere in the movie where Bill Burr is walking the kid to school and the kid shows him a picture that Pete Davidson drew. And it's like this amazing thing. And I was like, man, we haven't seen anything that indicates that he's even a good drawer, mm-hmm. in this whole thing. And it seems like that's such a big part of his character. It would have been nice to have gotten to that sooner. You know, it seems like they just wanted this big moment where Bill Burr's like, oh, this guy might be pretty good after all. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, it feels like it, if it's part of his character, we should have seen, and maybe there's some stuff I missed where we see drawings all over the place and they're really good and all that. But it felt like the first time we're being shown that he's a good illustrator or drawer.
I think you're right, because the only other times, like early on, the friends who he's kind of used as his own like paint board, basically, when they let him, that one guy had like the Obama tattoo or whatever. I think it was Obama, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was terrible. Yeah, and it's an awful Obama tattoo. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. He's like, you can't mess up Obama, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the Igor guy had a bunch of like weird stuff on.
Yeah, Igor was just letting him do whatever and not caring if they were bad or not and everything. Okay, so let's go on to spoilers.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Kevin Spacey is Kaiser Soze.
Luke's father is actually Darth Vader. What? She's the sister and the daughter.
No. I'm reading the books.
There's not too many things to spoil here. You know, the main crux, I guess, of this story is that he, right after he tries to tattoo this kid, the dad, Bill Burr, comes by the house and yells at Marissa Tomei about her son doing this tattoo. And I think the kid is 12 now that I'm thinking about it, doing a tattoo on a kid that's 12 or trying to or whatever. Mm-hmm. He goes ballistic. He and Pete Davidson have this big argument while that's happening and everything. And then in the middle of all that, by the time it's over, like Bill Burr leaves, and then there's a point where he comes back and he asks Marissa Tomei out, and they start a relationship. And he's also a firefighter, and Pete Davidson is like, that's fucked up. You know, my dad was a firefighter, and he has these thoughts about, you know, firefighters shouldn't even have personal lives because they're, you know, they go in and could die any night or whatever. But he doesn't like the fact that another firefighter is coming into the family and it's kicking him out of the house. So he has to like fend for himself during this whole thing. He's trying to find, he's got a job as a waiter. Well, he starts off as like a
bus boy.
Yeah. Bus boy. And then he becomes a waiter and that's sort of helping him out, but he still doesn't have like a real place to stay during all this. He's got to crash at other people's places and everything. And at some point he ends up having to stay at the fire station. He sort of appeals to Bill Burr and says, you know, I have no place to go and everything. And Bill Burr sort of takes him on, lets him do it. And his dad, Pete Davidson's dad, is such a legend. I think they're more of the other firefighters are more than happy to allow him to stay there and everything. So it's sort of that kind of story. He's trying to find his way. And there are these complications like this Bill Burr guy. And then that doesn't even happen until Bill Burr and Marissa Tomei break up. That's how much bullshit's going on in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. This is like a good hour and 15, 20 minutes into the movie, probably.
Right. Right. So most of the time we're just seeing him kind of, you know, he's smoking pot. He's trying to do these tattoos. He's not good at it. He's being emotionally distant from this girl who really likes him for some reason. And he's just kind of, he doesn't have a real path, and that's sort of this movie. The whole thing is him wandering around trying to find a path.
I will say it is kind of funny though, mentioning the Julia Fox comparison though. I do think, it is more believable in this scenario that she really likes him versus
very true.
How much Julia Vox like the Adam Sandler character.
That is the most stunning, unbelievable thing ever is in Uncut Gems is that she truly likes this guy.
Yeah. And I love that movie, but God, that, yeah, that's crazy. So I do buy it a little more, but I know what you're saying. Like, and then there's some interesting stuff between them too. I like he doesn't really seem to understand how to function in a relationship. Like, she finds out that her sister had a graduation party and she wasn't invited.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and the whole thing about, you know, she says, I mean, it was a life moment. He's like, what the fuck's a life moment? You know?
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
And then there's that part where he's just trying to get a place to stay. So he sleeps with her and, you know, he doesn't realize why that's bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
well, he immediately turns over to her and he's like, yeah, it's like, I was just wondering, and like maybe for the next day or so, if I could stay. And she instantly sniffs that out.
Well, and it looked like she lived with her parents or something too, which was the funny thing, because like I know her little brother was downstairs.
Oh, and, yeah, that's right. And he even like, goes down and asks the brother if he could stay. He's like, not happening, dude.
But the movie's filled with a lot of just kind of like moments like that. It kind of feels like, and then by the time you get to the Bill Burr and Marissa Tomei breakup, then it kind of goes to the big set piece, I guess, where he goes and stays at the fire station.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the remainder of the movie, basically. Like, yeah, the last, and, like, 40 minutes or so.
And some, you know, some random Steve Buscemi, like, appearance in this movie. Like, mm-hmm. like he's even, they even show Steve Buscemi, like, earlier on, just in the middle of everybody, like, shaking hands and stuff. And I was like, is that Steve Buscemi? I mean, surely not, because they would have given him some lines, but it's like another like 15 minutes or something.
Yeah.
It's probably shorter than that, that, you know, that he shows up and finally starts saying something. And I was like, oh damn, he really is in this movie. But like, my favorite Bill Burr moment in this is not a funny moment. It's just, it's right after Pete Davidson goes to, talk to Bill Burr's wife, ex-wife, played by Pamela Adlon, mm-hmm. who's a great,
he's great.
Who's, yeah, is an awesome actress. He goes to talk to her, and she gives him the lowdown. This is when he's trying to get Bill Burr and Marissa Tomei to break up. She gives him the lowdown, like he wanted to like make sure that I had the custody of the kids, and he did this, and he gambled his money away, and all that. And so Pete Davidson obviously goes and tells Marissa Tomei about it. And they're not even broken up over that. It's mainly because Bill Burr goes out and flies off the handle, mm-hmm. and gets into a fight with Davidson and, you know, throws him in the pool and everything. And this mm-hmm. is my favorite Marissa. In the middle of this talking about Bill Burr's great moment, I'm going to talk about Marissa Tomei's great moment where she's just like, the both of you get the fuck out,
mm-hmm.
you know, as you know, it's so easy to make it where she picks one or the other, but she's like, nope, both of you are assholes.
I was going to say, I love where Bill Burr's like, you know, like, what did I do? And she's like, what do you mean? You put your fucking hands on my kid. Like, mm-hmm. no matter like how mad she is at her kid, like that's her kid. And like, you know, no one's going to put their hands on him. I love stuff like that. Yeah.
But, there's that brief moment there where he's homeless and he goes over to the fire station, and then Bill Burr was like it's like, you went over to my ex-wife's house and you got the big review, the big hole, like you get everything negative possible, and you went back and told, you know, you told her about it and everything. He said, why didn't you come and ask these guys whether I'm a good guy or not, you know? And it's true, like you can't. Obviously, nobody in the mind of Pete Davidson in this movie is looking for a balanced, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, thing.
Absolutely.
But you know, he's absolutely right. You're going to find the worst review possible from somebody like that, and there's, you know, it would make you mad if, you know, somebody was trying to find stuff out about you and they went to your worst enemy and based their entire opinion on that person's review. And everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there's another part in that where he says something like, I'm not a gambler, I'm a day trader. And he's like, I don't know the difference. He's like, well, maybe you should have fucking looked it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that is good. There's actually a few moments where I kept thinking the movie was going to go down a certain road, and then it would kind of surprise me. Like, I thought for sure he was going to sleep with the ex-wife.
Yeah, I did too. I actually thought that was coming. I really did.
And then there's a moment too where his friends try to talk him into robbing this pharmacy.
Yeah.
And he
ends up
deciding. A lot
of stuff going on in this movie.
Yeah, there is a lot going on. That's, like I said, it's part of like the problem with it. It's just there's too much. But
yeah,
he decides at first not to do it. And then he decides to do it because he gets pissed and he gets kicked out of his house and all that shit. Mm-hmm. But then I thought for sure, well, he's going to go to jail now. And he didn't. Like, he actually gets out of it. And yeah.
Well, yeah, he runs away and none of his friends narc on him. So, that scene's probably a little bit too long and not set up.
Yes.
Not set up very well. Like, that would have been nice to actually have seen the people walk into their store when mm-hmm. they, like, we don't see that at all. It looks like they're just there. Like, they're just staying there. Like, they come out of nowhere in the store while they're getting robbed and everything. And then we see Pete Davidson, and I was like, well, wait a minute. Did he fail at his job? Did he really not see them come in, or mm-hmm. were they just there the whole time? That was a weird moment.
Yeah, it was, because there's a moment later when he visits Oscar in jail, and he asks if he's mad at him, and he said, no, he's like, but I mean, you know, you were the lookout, you didn't do a very good job. But like you, I was like, yeah, but I don't think he would have seen them coming in, at least not the way the scene was presented.
Yeah, he said.
I don't think Pete Davidson did anything.
Yeah, he said that. What were we going to tell the cops, that you were a lookout that wasn't very good at looking out? But
by the way, that had the catfish reveal though. That scene, which that was actually kind of a funny joke.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because Igor is talking to somebody, and they keep saying that that's a dude or that's a catfish or whatever. And then like by the end of it, it turns out that she's real.
Yeah. He's like, oh my God, she's real.
Yeah. You wanted to talk a little bit about the ending of this movie.
Oh, I was just trying to say, I don't remember what we were just talking about, him, you know, getting to a point. The movie just kind of ends though. Like,
yeah,
Well, he stays at the firehouse for, I don't know, weeks, it seems like.
Yeah,
like
it's a while.
Like, yeah, he's like, they find, like, they, and, like, and this is partly part of why I don't know that I couldn't quite get past slightly liking it. Because a lot mm-hmm. of the firehouse stuff I thought was kind of generic and was kind of cliched. Whereas mm-hmm. a lot of the rest of the movie was actually kind of fighting against that.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually, Steve Buscemi tells him he can stay. And then he learns about his dad, because a lot of the guys there worked with his dad. So he learns a lot of stuff about his dad that he didn't know, because mm-hmm. he was 7 when he died. So his mom's always told him like really nice things.
Yeah.
You end up with another nice moment with him and Marissa Tomei, where she's like, I mean, did you want me to tell you that he liked watching cartoons with you because he was tripping
all
the time, you know? And he's like, yeah, I would have liked you to have told me that, you know?
Yeah. Well, he's got a really like they did cocaine and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, they're telling him like all these crazy stories. So you have something like that. And then they let him like clean up around the firehouse.
Yeah.
And then I felt like that whole like the gunshot victim showing up or stabbed. I don't even know what that guy, because they never do actually say what happened to him.
Right.
I thought that whole scene felt a little contrived. And
well, it was, because that's how they get them all together with Marissa Tomei at the end. And
yeah, exactly. Cause she's at the hospital. And then like, I couldn't even figure out why he called Bill Burr at that point. I guess he just needed help with somebody, but
yeah.
So that was
it's
part
definitely
of her.
Contrived.
But then after that, like, I guess through all that, it's like all of a sudden he's just like, he kind of knows what he wants to do. At least he knows that he wants to have a relationship with, with Belle Pally's. She's Kelsey is her name in the movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He wants to have a relationship with her. So he goes and like, she's about to go, because her whole thing, I believe, is that she wants to be a city planner so she can make Staten Island nice again, is how she puts it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so he goes and sees her. And she's about to go to the city to take her, I guess, some test.
Yeah.
And so he rides over in the ferry with her to the city. And then
I've been to that building, by the way.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. There's I don't know if it's the same one, but it's definitely in that area. When I was in New York and doing projection and stuff, mm-hmm. there was a thought that people who were managers in New York would have to pass the projectionist test that they actually had in New York. So like, you went to a place like that, to take it.
Oh, interesting.
And everything. So, I believe
it's like a testing building.
Yeah. It's like a testing building. You have these random tests for random jobs there it's stuff that you don't like here in Nashville, you don't ever have to do for anything, but, but I don't even think we had to do it in New York. It was just a precaution type of thing.
Gotcha. But anyway, so he goes and he like quizzes her over on the ride over and stuff. And then they get there and she's like, will you wait for me? Cause I guess he was just going to go back.
Yeah. And it's going to be like 2 hours or something. Yeah, so he's going to go around.
And he's just like, I'll figure something out. And then he walks away and then the movie ends.
Yeah.
It was just kind of a weird, and it wasn't like necessarily a bad moment to end on, but I was just kind of like, I don't really know. I just couldn't figure out like, what am I supposed to take away from what he's learned, you know, like if that's supposed, cause that feels like that's the point. I mean, I feel like Bill Burr has had more of a character arc and maybe even Marissa Tomei.
Yeah.
But, and like I said, there's nothing wrong with Pete Davidson's perfectly fine. I don't know that he's got a ton of range or anything, but in this kind of role, he's perfectly, you know, he's perfectly fine.
You could possibly see him though at some point, like if they put him in a certain role, him going a certain way with it and being good. I can kind of see that. Like
I agree with you. Like I think he has more potential than like Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if there's much more we want to talk about on this movie. There are a lot of things in the, I mean, there are just a lot of moments in this. I mean, you know, you're talking the girlfriend even goes as far as trying to date somebody else.
Taking him
to the restaurant where Pete Davidson is and trying to make him jealous. Yeah. And he's like completely oblivious to it.
She's like, will you look at my tits? They're the Eiffel Tower up in here.
Yeah. And and then like they go into the back and argue a bit and then he's like, what do I tell your boyfriend? I don't know. You know, she's to like tell him that I can't remember what she says.
She says, I met him 10 minutes ago. He's a fucking disc jockey or something like that. Or he's a DJ maybe, or the same thing. But I mean, I think she was saying like he was like a DJ at parties or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, and well, and the other thing, I guess the friends thing kind of, they kind of, I mean, I guess the other thing about that robbery, I feel was a little contrived, was I feel like they were just looking for a way to get the friends out of the picture. Mm-hmm. Like they felt like they had to do something with them. Cause once they go to jail, like you don't have to worry about them anymore.
Yeah.
So there was just stuff like that. I just felt like if the last 30 minutes or 40 minutes had been a little tighter, or a little stronger, I think maybe I would have come out of this liking it a little more, but I don't know that around there, I just kind of started getting bored and just wasn't as invested. And like I said, I kind of got more interested in how Bill Burr's situation was going to turn out.
But I
did think that was interesting. Like you were making the point that like you find out, like when he says, when he gets onto him about getting the worst review he could have gotten from somebody. Cause I just assumed too, the movie was going to go that all that shit was true about Bill Burr and he was a terrible person. Mm-hmm. And you actually find out it's like real life. I mean, there's, you know, some of that was kind of true, but he is really trying to better himself. He isn't just a mooch. You know,
right.
And he really loves his mom.
Yeah, for sure.
So I thought all that felt really genuine and felt realistic. And I like that aspect of it. But I just don't know. This is one I'm just going to go back and watch. Like I have watched like 40-Year-Old Virgin and Knocked Up.
Because it doesn't have the same scene recognition that I look for. Whenever it's time for repeat viewings and everything, it's not like you watch this and you're like, oh yeah, it's that scene. Oh yeah. There's probably a good three or four of those scenes in here that are.
And if you look at Knocked Up, like if you look at his friends in that, it's Jason Segel, Jay Baruchel,
Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember the other guy's
name. Oh, Martin Starr.
Martin Starr. Yeah. I mean, and those are all like, I mean, those are all pretty much, you know, they can carry their own movies at this point. Maybe not Martin Starr, but he probably could. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I don't see that from this group. Like, I don't think these are.
No, they aren't. They are. I mean, they're, it's not, I don't think Apatow was trying to make a comedy. If he was, if he was making one of these knocked up kind of comedies, those guys would have been more prominent. There would have been more about the tattoos.
You're probably right.
All sorts of stuff. I think he really wanted to make a growing up type movie here. And, you know, I think the difference between your B minus and my B plus is exactly the whether you thought that it did it in a good job, did a good job, or if it was kind of failed a little bit on that and everything. I can totally see where you're coming from as well.
But I see no reason. I mean, if you're interested in it at all, there's no reason not to watch it. I mean, I think you're going to get something out of it, you know.
Yeah.
If it doesn't really, you know, if you were kind of on the fence, I don't know what to tell you, but. If you like what we've said, there you go.
Yeah. All right. So what did you guys think about this movie? Go to Sincast presented by CinemaSins on Facebook. We're also on CinemaSins Twitter, Music Video Sins Twitter, SoundCloud. We're also on Discord. And if you want to get on Discord, you can go to our Reddit page, find a link on the right side, or you can private message me and I will give you on Facebook and I will give you a link there. Where can people find you, Jonathan?
On Twitter, I am at SamLoomis13, and you can hear me every week on Behind the Sins with Danae Hughes and Aaron Dicer.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this mini pod. It's Chris Atkinson and Jonathan Watkins. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.